In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, happy anniversary, right? 10 years on from that day that we know by its date. On that morning, I was at a meeting with other clergy at St. Peter's in Ellicott City. It was a breakfast meeting, and I remember the assistant came down and whispered in the rector's ear, and then she left, and he sat down again, and we had our meeting. And afterwards, he told us that the plane had hit the World Trade Center, and we didn't know if it was an accident. So on my way back here, I stopped at home and turned the TV on, and of course, we all know what happened from there. It was certainly a surreal day. We took the kids out of childcare and took them home. And of course, we all remember it was a lovely day. We took the kids to the park, to the swing sets. They were very young at that point. And it just made it very surreal to be out there. We just somehow felt like we needed to protect our children from what was going on. I remember wanting desperately to talk to my dad to make that connection because he had used to work near the World Trade Center, traveled through there every day. And there was just this sense that even though it had been a few years, I just wanted to check in. It's really an odd day in so many ways. And life has changed. Life has changed. I was thinking about how life has changed this week. And of course, you hear a lot of people talking about it on TV. We can't protect our children from it anymore. This week, we have been just pelted with 9/11. Phrases like credible threat are commonplace now. We've heard them this week. Highway signs recommend to us that we report suspicious activity. Little signs that things are different. We go through long lines at the airport. We take our shoes off. We submit to scans that look through our clothes. Large barricades that protect government buildings. We don't notice anymore. They would have been out of place, but things have changed. Some things that have changed, I think, break our hearts. Hatred and fear have reared their ugly heads, led to insidious racism, particularly against Muslims. One man wrote the following. He said, "Before 9/11, I was the son of a first-generation immigrant, a retired U.S. Army first sergeant who served 24 years for our country. Before 9/11, my sister was in the United States Army. Before 9/11, my brother was in the United States Army Reserve. Before 9/11, in October of 1998, I joined the United States Air Force. And before 9/11, I thought my country valued my family's service. After 9/11, I found that I can no longer fly without being random." Remember, we are randomly checked. "After 9/11, I found out that my fellow citizens will not even give me a job interview despite my college degree. After 9/11, I found out that should I wish to be employed, I had best seek the most liberal of employers or rejoin the military. After 9/11, I found out that my service meant nothing. All that mattered is my name. My name is Muhammad A. Ali II. The racism is frightening. This is what we've come to. The good news for you and for me is that we know how the story ends. We know, as Christians, how the story ends. The message of Jesus Christ is that there is always redemption. Our lives may be rocked, but there is always redemption. The world may be rocked, but there is always redemption. And despite the changes that 9/11 has brought to the world, that gift of redemption has not changed. God has not changed. The first letter of John reminds us explicitly that God is love. And love has not changed. The God of love has not changed, despite all the changes in our world. Love won out. It continues to win out. But it started winning out from the moment that first plane hit the first building. We've all heard stories of all the phone calls that were made from people. They were calling spouses and children and parents and siblings, to say, I love you. Something bad has happened. I may not make it, but I love you. Love wins. I have not heard one story about somebody who called to say, you know, I have never liked you. You're a real jerk. Or, I'm disappointed in you. You haven't lived up to what you should. Love wins. In Gander, Newfoundland, an interesting thing happened. You know, the airspace closed, and the FAA started telling people, pilots, if you fly into American airspace, you're probably going to get shot down. So they had to find other places to land. And many of them landed in a little community of Gander, Newfoundland. 6,600 passengers arrived without warning to a town of 10,000 people. And of course, they had to stay for a while. You'll remember that the skies were empty for several days, what, a week or so. And one woman reported that remembers the following. She said, we were completely taken care of. For everyone else, 9/11 has a heavy connotation. But for me, it was when I was reminded what humanity is. Bus drivers came off strike to drive us. Pharmacists came to the shelters and asked us what we needed. And nobody asked for money. It's pretty incredible that they were able to respond like that, especially with no notice. Many of the relationships that were forged continue to this day, and I know that many of those passengers are spending today in Gander, Newfoundland. Some of you heard the story of St. Paul's Church in New York, right adjacent to Ground Zero. A dozen buildings collapsed, modern structures collapsed, and St. Paul's didn't so much as lose a window. It's a little Episcopal church. It is the oldest existing church building in Manhattan, built in 1766. And it immediately became a sanctuary for first responders, for rescue workers, and then for cleanup crews. They spent about 10 months. The worship space, sanctuary was transformed into a different kind of sanctuary. People came, and thousands of volunteers came and gave their time. Doctors, massage therapists, podiatrists, people dealing with all those problems that came from doing the work. It was a place of refuge. It was a place where love won. And it started that day. And there have been numerous stories of redemption since then. Untold, uncountable number of stories. I read a story of a man named Robert Alonso. He lost his wife in the World Trade Center. He had two kids. He had a two-year-old daughter, and he had a newborn child, a son with Down syndrome. And his experience caused him to re-examine his priorities. He said, I owe it to my children to be around. If I buried my grief in work, my kids would lose both their parents. And he said he no longer puts off something that brought his children joy. He said, when my kids smile, the terrorists lose. The people who killed Janet wanted to destroy our happy lives. They lost. We won. And Robert has taught his children to treat every moment like an unopened gift. It's a story about a woman named Rose Marie Abad. Unlike many victims of the attacks, who are remembered mostly by their family and friends, Marie's legacy lives on halfway around the world in a once notorious neighborhood of Manila in the Philippines. It's a slum that now carries her name. She was married to an American man born in Managua. Her husband, Rudy, had not been back to the Philippines since 1963, and after they'd been married, he kept telling her what a paradise it was, so one day they returned in 1989 and were appalled by what they found. The poverty, the destitute poverty, was something that he didn't remember because it had not been there. And they were out jogging one day while they were there, and they bunch of kids were asking for money. They didn't have any because they were jogging. They actually went to the bank and got some and came back and gave it to the kids. And she said to him, I don't know when, where, or how, but someday I'm going to come back and I'm going to do more than this. After her death in the World Trade Center, her husband made good on her promise. In 2004, he gave $60,000 to build about 50 one-story houses where there had been a shanty town, rife with garbage, human waste, and an extraordinary amount of crime. It is now a safe neighborhood. The president of the Homeowners Association says that there is no more fighting, no more stabbing, no more drinking on the street. And Rudy says that September 11th transformed him. He learned about suffering. And in the years following, he learned about redemption. Our world is rocked, but there is always redemption because redemption is of Jesus Christ. And God in Christ does not change, no matter what the circumstances. Now, I'm not here to say that all these things are some kind of silver lining to 9/11. 9/11 was terrible, no matter how you cut it. What I'm saying is that in the midst of our trials, God is there, and God is the rock, and God doesn't change. Love wins. Jesus is forever. God is forever, and God is love, and love wins. Paul spoke to the power and eternity of God's love in his letter to the church in Ephesus. And he wrote it this way. He said, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.